So good to see everybody here this morning. Glad you're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's just thank God again. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we say we're blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. So go ahead and look at your handout. I want to make sure you have certain things. Number one, Christians have a dual citizenship. We are citizens of heaven and citizens of America. These are not parallel and disjointed. Who we are as Christians dominates everything. You say, well, that's unusual. You say, where is this all coming from? Well, this week, unfortunately, is the 43rd anniversary of the Supreme Court's decision to legalize abortion. And so I wanted to speak in that direction, but I wanted to lay a basis for my remarks that God laid on my heart. And so the Bible says we're citizens of heaven. Of course, I was born here, so that makes me a citizen of the United States. And unfortunately for a lot of people, the two are completely disconnected. There are many people in the denominational world who are completely in favor of both same-sex marriage and abortion and everything atheists are in favor of. In other words, they can say certain things like, well, I agree with the policy of my church in private, but, in public, whatever, it's a totally different ballgame. Well, for me, Christianity is not personal and private. It's personal and public.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a big distinction there.
Yep.
And so who I am as a Christian dominates everything, which I'll get to more fully in my third point.
Amen.
But my second point is this. We can change history, and this is, I believe, how we can change history. We need to pray for God to call, anoint, prepare, and send out 500,000. That's a lot, I know. 500,000 God-fearing, Christ-worshiping, blood-washed, blood-bought, Spirit-sanctified, Spirit-filled, Bible-believing, Bible-obeying, sin-hating, sin-overcoming, fire-baptized, faith-filled preachers who have enough moral fiber to boldly speak the truth in love.
Hallelujah.
Lord, may I be one.
Amen. Amen.
Our nation cannot change until the preachers change. Where's my change man there, Pastor Brian? There needs to be a great change in the preachers in the United States of America. Not a minimal change, a great change. And that doesn't come by us kicking them in the seat of their pants. It comes by the action of the Holy Spirit in them and on them so that he shakes them and transforms their preaching. Oral Roberts talks about, when he was alive, he talked about preaching with fire in the belly. That's not a man-made fire. You don't get that fire at seminary. You get that fire by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we, the people, we Christian people, can change history if we'll pray this kind of prayer.
Amen.
And I know it's God's will. You know, Pastor Brian talked about praying in line with the will of God. In Matthew 9:38, the Lord Jesus Christ said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest.
Amen.
Well, laborers primarily are going to be preachers.
Amen.
But the preachers have to be a special variety.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So that's how you can change history. Isn't that ought to be exciting to you.
Amen.
Amen. History is not inevitable. It's determined by what you choose. And then my third point for you to take home is that Lord signifies one who owns and governs. Jesus is my Lord. He's Lord of my politics. I'm going to get to that. Look at Philippians 2, verse 6 through 11. We'll start here, that Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He had faith in God the Father's plan. He had faith. Say, Lord, I choose to be crucified, and you make me sin. And he had faith that there would be people like you who would respond to his love.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus saw us. He saw us, the Bible says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He saw you turning from sin to God. Amen. He saw you turning from the devil to Jesus. He saw us being rescued out of darkness, yes, and being transferred into the kingdom of light. And they said to him as he hung on the cross, why don't you come down and save yourself? And I think he wanted to say, no, I'm not doing that because I want to save those people that I see, those millions that are not even yet born. Amen. If I save myself, I can't save them.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And so he stayed put and he died and God raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. That we get to that in verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, everybody say Jesus,
Jesus,
that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
So I say to you, Jesus is Lord. I further say the government is not God. Jesus is my Lord and my God. Lord is more than a title. Lord signifies who Jesus is and what Jesus does.
Amen.
Lord signifies the one who owns and governs. So when I say Jesus is my Lord, I'm telling you Jesus owns me. I am his. I belong to him. I'm not my own. When I tell you Jesus is my Lord, I'm saying Jesus governs me. He rules me. He has the final say-so in my life. And I obey him. In other words, the government has passed out of my hands. The government of my life has passed out of my hands into his hands. Now, let me just give you a happy thought. Wherever Jesus is Lord, something good happens. Whatever he is Lord over, it gets better immediately. And the Bible says in Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Oh, that's a good verse.
Amen.
That's why I proclaim Jesus is Lord, because I know when he's Lord over something, it's not just a title, but he starts calling the shots in that something.
Amen.
And then it gets out of the devil's hands and the curse is broken off of it. And then something good starts happening.
Amen.
So blessed are you if Jesus is your Lord. In order to be saved from sin and from hell, what do you have to do? You must confess the lordship of Jesus over yourself.
Amen.
Romans 10, verse 9. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
Amen.
So I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord. Everybody say that with me. Jesus is my Lord. That means I make an absolute break with sin and the devil.
Amen.
You follow that?
Yeah, yeah.
I have left the devil's kingdom where the curse reigns, and I am now living under the sweet rule of Jesus.
Amen.
Kenneth Hagin said this. It's in Faith Food, July 1st. He said, some want to have Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. They want him as their savior from hell, but they don't want him as their Lord and ruler on earth. You can't really have one without the other. He said this on July 2nd, Faith Food, July 2nd. When Jesus becomes your Lord, he will want to have something to say about the kinds of books you read, about the amusements you enjoy, about the governing of your physical body. If Jesus is your Lord, he will want to have something to say about your finances, how you make your money and how you use your money. If Jesus is your Lord, he will want to have something to say about your marriage and your children, about your home. He will want to dictate to you regarding your vocation in life and where you live. Yes, Jesus will want to enter every area of your life if he's your Lord.
Amen.
And I want him to be my Lord, don't you?
Yes.
That's what makes the Christian life blessed. The Lordship of Jesus strips life of its weakness, frailty, and human guidance. It lifts life out of the realm of the natural and into the supernatural.
Amen.
Amen.
So I confess to you, Jesus is my Lord, not just over my theology, not just over my prayer life, not just over my church life, but he's Lord over my music.
Amen.
He's Lord over my clothes, my skin, my body, my words, my imagination, my memory, my mind, my entertainment, my books, my movies, my worldview, my lifestyle, and my politics. Amen. As for me, it is Lord Jesus, not Lord Government. As for me, it is Lord Jesus, not Lord Supreme Court. Amen. I ask you today, is Jesus your Lord?
Yes.
Is Jesus Lord of your politics? Yes. Is Jesus Lord of whether you vote and for whom you vote? Yes. I talked to a fellow the other day, and he said, well, I'm not registered to vote. And he's a fine Christian man. I said, well, why aren't you? You need to register to vote. We'll get to that in a minute, but I'll just say this. Atheists vote. Why don't you? Amen. God can't vote. So God can do anything. No, he can't do anything. He can't vote. But you can vote. All right, look at this. This is a good question. Is Jesus Lord of your opinions about abortion and same-sex marriage? Is Jesus Lord of your views about race, blacks, and Jews? Let me assert my firm belief that the Lordship of Jesus covers all of life, all of reality. Defective Christianity lets Jesus be contained in a little box on Sunday morning. Right here in this little cube. I want nothing to do with the Christianity that can be shut up into an isolated part of my life. I want nothing to do with compartmentalized Christianity. I want nothing to do with non-supernatural, non-holy, bloodless Christianity. Come on now. I want a Christianity that frees me from sin. I want a Christianity that empowers me to be as holy as Jesus is holy. I want a Christianity that infiltrates, dominates, and transforms every facet of my life. I want a Christianity that revolutionizes my thinking and my behaving. I want a Christianity that is strong enough to revolutionize my nation.
Amen.
Is that what you want?
Yes.
Then say this. Say, Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
Say this. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I submit to your Lordship.
I submit to your Lordship.
Over my life.
Over my life.
I surrender to your will.
I surrender to your will.
In every area of my life.
In every area of my life.
I obey your say so.
Your say-so is authoritative.
Your say-so is supreme.
Your say-so is
final. Jesus, you are my Lord and my God.
Jesus, you are my Lord and my God.
Oh, you're about to become super radical doing that. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is Lord. No one else is Lord. It's not Lord Jesus and Lord Government. Government is either under God or it is illegitimate. Government is not God. For the atheist, self is God, as in I worship myself. In socialism, communism, and Marxism, government is God. But there is only one God, the creator of heaven and earth, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jews and Christians refer to him as Jehovah. And Jehovah is not Allah. Let me just make this plain so that you don't misunderstand. Allah is a demon spirit that incites immorality and murder. Jehovah is love. God is love. And America is destined to be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
Oh, thus be it e'er, when free men shall stand between their loved home and the war's desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. I didn't write those lyrics. I know some of y'all are thinking he didn't like the lyrics, and so he changed them. But if y'all were not ignorant, you would know that that was the fourth verse of our national anthem written by none other than Francis Scott Key in 1814. Hallelujah. Now you're properly informed. Let's work with this a little bit. Now, did you like that part? This is our motto, in God is our trust. Yes. That's part of the national anthem. Yes. Amen. Our Declaration of Independence reads, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Now, this is an easy question. Where did Thomas Jefferson get the words created and creator? Hint. He got them from the Bible. The Bible begins with these words, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning, man. Not in the beginning, nothing. Not in the beginning, a big bang. But in the beginning, a big God. Amen. Where you begin makes a big difference. And the starting place of building a great nation is God. God with a capital G. Amen. So who is God? God is not a man. He's not our equal. God is our creator, lawgiver, and judge. Everything had a beginning but God. God never began. He eternally is. He is outside of time, and he created time and life and you. You are alive because God gave you life. Jefferson wrote of unalienable rights. Listen closely. What is unalienable is absolute. What is unalienable is inherent in our humanity. What is unalienable is inseparable from our humanity. What is unalienable is not granted by the government, but rather is given by God. What is unalienable does not originate in the government, but in God. Therefore, listen closely again. The right to life does not come from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. Amen. The right to be free is not bestowed by atheist elitists. It is the gift of God. The right to pursue happiness is not a privilege rationed by atheistic control freaks. It is the gift of God. These rights are sacred. They are beyond the reach of legitimate government. The government didn't give them, and the government can't take them away. Amen. So there's someone above the Supreme Court. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Our nation's first president and its best, George Washington, said this in his first inaugural address. Listen closely. "The propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained." Amen. Wow. I want God to smile on America. And George Washington said that the propitious smiles of heaven that we want cannot be expected, can never be expected, if we nullify, if we try to change the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. Wow. Very simply, my friends, right and wrong are not ours to determine. Amen. Right and wrong flow out of the wisdom and the love of God. Whatever is right is a reflection of his moral character, and whatever is wrong is opposed to his moral character. It's pretty easy to understand. Now, if we arrogantly imagine that we can invent our own version of morality, we are pathetically deceived. Like it or not, we are in the middle of a nasty spiritual battle for the soul of America. This is a scripture that you need to underline in your Bible. I didn't give it to Amy. It's Isaiah 5, verse 20. Like it or not, the atheists who have been pushing moral rebellion against God have gained significant ground since the 1960s when they kicked prayer and the Bible reading and Bible out of school. And they've made gains ever since. There was a pushback in the early 1980s under President Reagan, but that has long since dissipated. It is time for a massive national spiritual awakening that transforms the culture of our nation into a culture of life, morality, and faith. Now look at this scripture in Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And I could add that call bad good, and now all of a sudden bad is good and good is bad. And our musicians have aided and abetted that. And our entertainers have aided and abetted that. And it's time for words to mean what words mean and not flip their meaning out of some desire to be poetic. Amen. Evil is evil. Holy is holy. Our Supreme Court in 2015 legalized same-sex marriage. Our president celebrated. God cried. Our Supreme Court in 1973 legalized abortion. The immoral celebrated. God cried. 43 years ago, the United States Supreme Court unleashed an abortion holocaust in which to date over 55 million babies have been aborted in the United States. For 43 years, the culture of death has reigned, and when evil is triumphing, I cannot be silent or still. Make no mistake, abortion on demand is not a right guaranteed by our Constitution. Perhaps you're saying to yourself, abortion doesn't involve me. I say it does. Listen closely. When we deny the value of one category of human life, the unborn child, we degrade the value of all human life. Abortion makes violence socially acceptable. I remember years ago, I was watching Hillary Clinton at a national prayer breakfast, which was probably the last place on the planet she wanted to be. And she was listening to Mother Teresa. And I could tell the rage on Hillary Clinton's face. She was probably angry that no one had aborted the nun, who had the nerve to say this: "But I feel that the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion, because it is war against the child, a direct killing of the innocent child, murder by the mother itself. And if we accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another?" "Any country," Mother Teresa said, "that accepts abortion is not teaching its people to love, but to use violence to get what they want." Amen. That's right. That is why the greatest destroyer of love and peace is abortion. That's what Mother Teresa said. And so abortion is war against women. And so Hillary Clinton is a liar. And liars shouldn't be America's leaders. I don't care what their skin color or gender. Amen. Atheistic liberals have been legislating their immorality for years now. Atheistic liberals like to play God. They want to pick and choose which individuals have value. They want to promote and enforce a quality of life ethic instead of a sanctity of life ethic. And for 43 years, they've been winning. Let me explain what I just said. There is a sanctity of life ethic, which means that human life is sacred because it is the gift of God. God made us. We didn't evolve from nothing. God made us in His image. And the blood of Jesus was shed for us. That gives us incomparable worth and dignity. You take the atheistic worldview and it says man evolved from nothing by a product of natural selection. So that means that people are expendable and disposable, sort of like worn out razor blades. You don't like it, it's lost its edge, throw it away. If the unborn baby is diagnosed with some syndrome or defect, just abort it. I was thinking the other day in John chapter 9 about the man born blind. I'm glad he didn't get aborted just because he was blind. Jesus gave him sight. But we live, you have to understand how vicious and how hostile atheists are to the Declaration of Independence and the Bible and our freedom. You must not underestimate how irrational they are because they want to decide who lives and who dies at both ends of life's spectrum. I was talking to one atheist. She said, we are fighting for nothing less than the right of a mother to abort her baby even 6 months after it is born because it's not viable till then. On the other end of the spectrum, yeah, your mouths are finally open. You're realizing what's going on in this. That's where we're headed if we elect another pro-Marxist president. I wasn't sure how this message was going to play in Peoria. It's not your average Bible message, I understand, but I tried to lay a foundation for this by saying Jesus is my Lord. Amen. Which means He cares about what you do in that voting booth.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Just because an evil policy continues for decades does not make it right. Slavery cursed America for over 200 years, unjustly stripping black men and women of their personhood. But thank God slavery was finally undone. So I say to you, the unborn child is a child, a human being. The unborn child has a right to life, an unalienable right. The baby's right to life comes from God, not from the government. Amen. And the solution for an unwanted pregnancy is not abortion, but adoption. Unborn children are people and all people matter. Unborn children are people and all people are precious. Unborn children are people and there are no expendable or disposable people.
Amen.
So I'm going to further say that Planned Parenthood is a barbaric pro-abortion agency that sells the body parts of aborted babies. It is a taxpayer-funded industry of death. That's exactly what it is. All right, let's look at some scriptures so that you understand that these are not the ravings of a right-wing extremist. You understand that that ridicule and smear are two of the favorite tactics of atheistic liberals. You've got to understand that. That's what's going on. They want to marginalize and silence people like me, but they're not going to because people like you are going to pray that God raise up 500,000 more people like
Amen.
Me
Amen.
And give us a stronger platform. Look at Psalm 139. I've got several verses here for you. Psalm 139, verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. God made us, and he watched over our development in our mother's womb. Amen. Look at Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Children are a gift from God. Amen. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah 1 verse 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Amen. Let's look at Luke chapter 1. We just celebrated Christmas a few days ago. And I'm not worried about when Jesus was born. I personally think he was born in September. If he was conceived on December 25th, praise the Lord. When you get to heaven, you can ask him. I don't honor a day. I honor the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at, keep the main thing the main thing. Look at Luke 1, 13 to 15. The angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb.
Amen.
And scientists know right now what we've always known, that babies feel pain, they respond to joy, they respond to everything that's going on in the mother. Look further in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Hallelujah. Oh, John, something, the Holy Ghost, I tell you, the Holy Ghost goosed him. And John said, hey! And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Amen. She didn't say the fetus. She didn't say the embryo. She said the babe. Look at Luke chapter 2. This is a famous portion of Scripture. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the house of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of Mary, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with fetal tissue. Hillary Clinton said we should get over our love affair with the fetus. Hillary Clinton is a liar. May God deliver us from her and from all wicked men and women like her. Mary was great with child. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn to this scripture, Exodus chapter 20. This is a good one. Thou shalt not kill. This is not the sixth suggestion. Okay? This is one of the commands. You don't get to argue over this one. You don't negotiate. Okay? You don't get to discuss it. You just get to obey it. Yeah. Some of you don't like that. I want to argue. Hey, you know, get over yourself. Why don't you humble yourself under God?
Amen.
Exodus 21, starting verse 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, and that means that she does not die, he shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Maybe you forgot that verse was in there. That's treating the unborn child as a fully human person.
Amen.
Right. Well, let's look at one more. Proverbs 14, 34. I serve Jesus. Proverbs 13, 34. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. This November, we will elect a new president. Hallelujah. God is counting on us to vote since he can't. Samuel Adams, one of the godly founding fathers, wrote this in 1781. Let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society for which he is accountable to God and his country. What this means is you need to register to vote. And then you vote. Your vote is your voice. And you will answer to God for whether or not you voted and for why you voted the way you did. There's no excuse for not voting. Charles Finney, a man of God, a key figure in the Second Great Awakening, said this: politics are a part of a religion in such a country as this. And Christians must do their duty to their country as part of their duty to God. Christians seem to act as if they think God does not see what they do in politics. But I tell you, he does see it, and he will bless or curse this nation according to the course Christians take. In other words, Christians have to take right ground in politics.
Amen.
All right, let's look at one more verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. We're going to pray right here. Say, what are we going to pray for? Well, I'll tell you in a minute. 2 Chronicles 7:14, God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So I was asking some of my friends, how many elected officials are there in the United States? Well, I know there's a president and a vice president. There are 100 senators and 435 congressmen. Okay, that bumps us to what, 537. Then there are 50 governors. And then I realize with my lightning fast mind that every state has legislators. Then I realize that every county has officials and every city has officials, down to the mayor and the sheriff. I did not shoot the sheriff or the deputy. I don't own a gun. Praise the Lord. But I believe in your right to have a gun.
Amen.
So you go ahead and get all the guns you want. Amen. I trust in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Then I realize there are judges, many of whom are voted on. Now, the Supreme Court justices are not voted on, but indirectly they are. How do we wind up with so many atheistic liberal judges who disregard the Constitution, the Bible, and the Declaration of Independence? Because we, the people, didn't vote like we should have. And if the damage started being done in 1961 when they threw prayer out, that means those justices had been appointed by previous presidents, starting with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was extremely liberal, believing that government is God. Let me just try to get something plain to you. One person was telling me, she says, well, don't you want the government to take care of you? I said, no. I said, I have Jesus for that. I don't need the government to take care of me from the cradle to the grave. I have Jesus who takes care of me. I have Jesus who watches over me. Jesus is my Lord. And if he can't do it, I don't want the government meddling with it. I'm trusting in Jesus. I don't personally don't care if Social Security goes bankrupt. God is not going bankrupt.
Amen.
People act like Social Security is some holy thing. God is holy.
Amen.
My faith is in Jesus. Say, are you going to retire? I don't plan on retiring. As long as I have breath in my lungs, I'm going to preach Jesus.
Amen.
My wife is very happy that I'm not going to retire. Hey, hallelujah. She can retire, but I'm not going to retire. So I want to get back to what I'm praying about. So I was trying to remember, I was trying to calculate how many people are, how many elected officials. There are over 500,000. And I immediately saw where we have been missing it. We Christians have been missing it. We focus in on the president. Oh, God, give us a righteous, God-fearing president. What about the other 499,000 knuckleheads out there? In order to change law and make it stick, you can't just have one godly person. President Reagan was godly, but he could only do so much. He was extremely limited because the Congress was in the control of godless liberals, and so was the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And if you want to change a nation, you've got to realize you have to change the whole thing.
Amen.
You can't give the devil an inch.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm trying to be nice. Win the likable person of the year award, etc. But I don't think I'm going to make it. All right, so what I want us to do, I want us to pray that God will raise up 500,000 God-fearing men and women to fill these elected and appointed positions.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And not just on this election cycle, because if you don't, in case you don't know, I don't know, maybe you watch too much. I don't know what you watch on television, but every 2 years there's a big election. So it's not enough to win this election, because in 2018 there's going to be another election. And then in 2020 there'll be another one. You say, well, Jesus is going to come. I know he's coming, but you don't know when he's coming, and I don't know when he's coming. And everybody who's predicted he's coming so far has been wrong. So he is coming, but we have to occupy till he comes. So you've got to get it in your mind. You're going to be praying that God would raise up 500,000 men and women, godly, God-fearing men and women who have a spine.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Who will do what is right.
Amen.
And then let's add our prayer about the preachers.
Amen.
All right, come on, stand up. I might want to preach another 5 minutes, but we need to pray right now. Come on, pray. Heavenly Father, we're asking right now. You said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, we humble ourselves under you. We declare, Lord Jesus, with bowed head, you are our Lord. We humble ourselves under you. You dictate to us and we obey. You have the final say-so in our life, in every area of our life. Lord Jesus, we declare you are our Lord over every issue in our life. We ask you right now, raise up 500,000 godly, God-fearing men and women to be president, vice president, senators, congressmen, judges, mayors, sheriffs, city councilmen, school superintendents. Lord Jesus, we're crying out, raise up 500,000 of them in Jesus' name. Father God, we ask, raise up, call, anoint, Paul, prepare, send forth 500,000 preachers, fire baptized, Holy Spirit filled, sin overcoming preachers who are, Salamahasataha, in Jesus' name, raise them up, Lord. Father God, we will not let the wicked rule over this nation. We'll not let the wicked rule over this nation in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. I do want to say this, that if you've had an abortion, the only thing you can do is repent before God. And if you have a broken and contrite heart, God will forgive you. Listen, Jesus, with Jesus there is forgiveness. With Jesus there is mercy. And with Jesus there is a new beginning.
Amen.
So I want to say that. I have to preach the truth strong. You understand?
Yeah.
But if you've fallen short, We don't condemn you because we've all fallen short.
Yes.
There's not a person in this room who's sinless.
That's right.
So nobody here can throw rocks at anybody and stone anybody, including me. So I have no rocks to throw. But I do want to say, what else do I want to say? All right. I think I've said enough. I'll just try to sum this up. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As long as I live, by the grace of God, I will be a man under God, and I will contend for America to be what it is supposed to be, one nation under God. Let's stand up and pledge allegiance to the flag. Hallelujah. Maybe you haven't done this in a while, but it's good for you to do.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this nation. We thank you for this nation in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I want to I'm going to say this since it's in my notes. The health care law is not about health care. It's about government control of your life. The health care law that was passed 5 years ago is about the advance of atheistic socialism. And we must repeal this law. We have come to the place where we are embracing demonic freedoms. Listen closely. The freedom to murder unborn children is a demonic liberty. The freedom to marry someone of the same sex is a demonic freedom. The freedom to flaunt our nakedness in public is a demonic freedom. The devil is trying to get people to embrace public nakedness and pornography. But I'm telling you, we set ourselves up for tyranny if we embrace these demonic liberties.
Amen.
Holiness is still in style in heaven.
Amen.
It may have gone out of style on earth, but it's in style in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
I don't know if I've said everything that I should say. Hopefully I didn't say things I shouldn't have said. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's just wait a moment before the Lord. We worship you, Jesus. I have more material, but that, I think that's enough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I could have talked to you about things like partial birth abortion, which shouldn't even have, which never even enters into a normal person's mind to do. You follow that? Some things are so barbaric and so gruesome that it should be unspeakable, and I'm not going to speak about it, but unfortunately you should educate yourself and say, this is going on. And that's why I say Jesus, I want to get back to it, Jesus is Lord over my politics. I personally don't care whether you're libertarian, Republican, Democrat, or what. I do think that I will say this, the Democratic Party has become the haven of God haters who want God eliminated. So I think I have a real problem for a Christian to be Democrat just because my daddy was Democrat. The Democratic Party has changed, just like segments of the Methodist Church have changed. The Methodist, parts of the Methodist Church promote homosexual marriage. John Wesley never did. So you can't say, well, John Wesley was a Methodist, so that means he would approve it. No, Methodists have changed. Some Methodists have changed. Ronald Reagan said something like this: if we ever forget that we're a nation under God, we'll be a nation gone under. So it's not a light thing when I said I'd want nothing to do with compartmentalized Christianity. You know, Bill Clinton, when he was president, he talked a lot about, well, I compartmentalize things. And that he sort of invented that word. I can do a good job as president regardless of my personal character. Nonsense. You can't compartmentalize Christianity. I want nothing to do with that. You follow this? I want a Christianity that dominates, infiltrates, and transforms every area of my life.
Amen. Amen.
I don't want atheistic liberals to do your thinking for you. Whew. Oh, Lord. Well, this is maybe my last shot. No, I don't. You know, when talking about same-sex marriage, President Obama said basically, love is love. Let me be plain. Lust is lust.
Amen.
Just because you call something love doesn't mean it's love in the sight of God.
Amen.
God made one man and one woman. He didn't give Adam five men or 40 men or five women or 70 women. One man and one woman. That's called marriage.
Amen.
If you redefine marriage, then terms mean nothing. If two men marry, who's the wife? Words have ceased to mean anything. You follow this?
Yes.
And we've got to come back again to the place where words mean what words mean.
Amen.
Woe to those that call evil good and good evil.
Right.
Now, we the people, if we will pray, and if we will vote, I believe God can turn things around in this nation.
Amen. Yes.
But if we don't pray, and if we just walk out of here unregistered to vote and stay unregistered and then don't vote, then we're actually to blame.
Yes.
When a socialist atheist is elected.
Yes.
You do realize that there are people working right now to make what I just did this morning illegal. They're working in the city of Houston, Texas. The mayor was trying to subpoena the preaching of the preachers. And they made her back down. But you don't have to worry about me. I'm not changing. I'm not running for office. So I don't have to flip-flop. There's one I'm pleasing. That's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But you need 500,000 more preachers.
Amen.
All across America. So the devil just, he starts freaking out. Because there's too much for him to handle.
Amen.
Preachers without guile, without moral compromise, who will stand up and speak the truth in love. Amen.
Amen.
Don't let anybody tell you that Christianity is just for 1 hour on Sunday morning. It's either all or it's nothing at all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So it's for me, it's Lord Jesus. Amen.